All of the first leg ties in the round of 16 are done, and there's some Mendy magic as Real Madrid break Atalanta hearts.
Now Furlong Mendy on his right foot shoots and scores! Furlong Mendy has done it for Real Madrid, and I don't think Zidane can believe it.
Meanwhile, Manchester City make it 19 wins in a row after breezing past Gladbach.
It's towards Bernardo Silva again, and there is the second for Manchester City. From close range, it is Gabriel Jesus. Borussia Mönchengladbach 0, Manchester City 2.
We dissect those two games, talk great goals, and we look ahead to next month's second legs on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and we're going to reflect on all of this evening's action. I'm joined by match commentators Richard Connolly and Dan Roebuck, and we've got the former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci with us as well. It's tradition, though, to start with our three-word match reports. Richard Connolly was watching an intriguing game between Atalanta and Real Madrid.
So to sum up, Chris, outnumbered, Atalanta overcome.
Oh, I like that. Long three-word report, but
good. We could go for Mendy's magical moment if we wanted an easier headline.
No, I like yours. It's long-winded, but it absolutely reflects what happened.
There's the story of my life.
Yeah. Dan Roebuck, you're watching Gladbach against Manchester City.
City, professional, polished.
Very nice. We're going to start in Italy, where free-scoring Atalanta took on the 13-time European champions Real Madrid at the Stadio di Bergamo.
Real Madrid have broken through. Mendy, he was brought down there by Remo Freuler. I think he was just outside. No, it's a red card for Freuler. The referee said it was a denial of a clear goal-scoring opportunity. Atalanta are down to 10 men in quite dramatic fashion. Here is Nacho again, driving forward down the left-hand side. He spotted a gap. Nacho's gone right through it all! And he nearly went all the way himself. His shot flashed across the face of goal and out for a throw-in on the far side. Kroos from the left-hand side curls it in beautifully. Oh, and Golini with a point-blank save as Ferran went in there for Real Madrid. Back to Modric, shooting chance outside of the right foot and off. It deflects and spins and rolls so fractionally wide of the far post. Now Furlong Mendy on his right foot shoots and scores! Furlong Mendy has done it for Real Madrid. With his right foot from 20 metres, he curled it into the corner, and I don't think Zidane can believe it. Atalanta certainly can't. The 10 men unlocked in the 86th minute by a smiling Furlong Mendy. It's Atalanta 0, Real Madrid 1.
So, Furlong Mendy on his 60th appearance for Real Madrid with just his third goal, and he's not even into double figures in terms of goals for his entire career. Richard Connolly and Jenna Scalacci join myself now. No Benzema, no Hazard, half a team out. We wondered who was going to be Real Madrid's hero, and it was their left-back, Jenna, an unlikely match winner in Bergamo.
Indeed, unlikely, but what a way to win the match. It was a fantastic strike. I mean, fair play to Atalanta. They every threat that was thrown at them, they dealt with, but that strike was just too much for them. It was a brilliant strike. The curl on it just took it round the keeper. The keeper had no chance.
And really, Mendy, I think, Chris, was a significant figure, perhaps the most significant figure on the night as a whole, because it was his burst in the 17th minute that brought that foul from Remo Freuler, to which the referee responded very quickly with the red card for denial of a clear goal-scoring opportunity. No doubt Freuler was the last man. He was in quite a wide position, but Mendy was attacking with real verve and pace. He was certainly tripped. And so that then impacted the rest of the match, because Atalanta had to change their game plan in quite a significant manner. It took 10 minutes for that to really get through, and was more apparent after halftime that they were just going to sit in. But you heard in the goal mix at the start of this part of the programme that there wasn't a chance in there for Atalanta. So Real Madrid had a control of the game for large measures, and then Mendy, who'd been the man who'd made the difference for that sending off, made the difference in scoring the winning goal late on too.
It is not often that Atalanta under Giampiero Gasperini do not have a shot on target. Well, first time this evening since April 2019 against Inter. So I know that Real Madrid were playing against 10 men, but you have to credit that from Zidane's team, don't you? Who actually are winning games narrowly, but are keeping a lot of clean sheets at the moment.
That's four in a row. And I think that's one aspect. And I'll bring Jenna here in as well, Chris, because that's one aspect of Real Madrid's play where we're saying, well, they could be more dynamic about their attacks. But one side of this was, I think, and especially given the players they were missing, they were also quite fearful of what Atalanta could do, even with 10 men on the counter-attack.
Yeah, definitely, I think. And that experience shows from that team that they knew the threats that Atalanta could bring. So it was important that they were defensively strong, and they did that today. I think the fact that Zapata and Muriel, you know, unfortunately, we had to sacrifice them. As they had 10 players, so we didn't see the free flow in football that we were anticipating, unfortunately. But yeah, fair play to Real Madrid. Their defensive line has been solid and consistent over the last four games, and it just shows that they're improving. The partnerships along the back line are improving as well.
I've seen a few people on social media saying this is kind of peak Real Madrid under Zidane in the Champions League knockout stages, that Mendy on his right foot scoring from outside the box. Just when you think that maybe a result will go against them, somebody comes up with something. And they are in, we have to say, a very strong position now in this tie.
They are. But, I mean, a couple of years ago, you think back to the Ajax game in the round of 16, when all of a sudden a dynamic, forward-thinking side took them to pieces at the Bernabeu on that day. So I think that memory will be vivid for Real Madrid. They won't consider this to be a done game by any stretch of the imagination. It's certainly step by step. It's a building of confidence for a side that knows full well that key performers are missing. I mean, you know, we've all spoken so much about the influence, particularly of Sergio Ramos, in a kind of where would they be without Ramos type way. Well, here's a Real Madrid side now winning five games in a row without him and collecting four consecutive clean sheets. So we must give them a big nod for that. It's clearly a step-by-step thing, but they are going gradually in the right direction. I mean, peak Real Madrid under Zidane would be to go all the way, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to see a side missing so many players going that far. But well, you know, they've dealt with the obstacle tonight.
They certainly have. Zinedine Zidane before the match was talking about getting to the final already. Such is his confidence, such is his aura, really, and Real Madrid's aura in this competition. One great save from Gallini right at the end of the first half. Do you think there'll be any part of Zidane who will be wanting his team to create more chances against 10 men? We mentioned the players they are out, pretty much nine first-teamers.
I definitely think so. I think it's all well and good having the possession of the ball, but it's what you do with that possession. I think, again, it goes credit to Atalanta because they just stopped every threat up until the 80th minute mark. So I think, you know, They kept the ball, they recycled the ball, but they didn't do much with it when they had it in that final third. And it took a worldie of a goal from Mendy, I think. But just going back, touching on all the injuries and Real Madrid, I think it goes to show that it's not just one player that makes the team. They've got a squad there to build on now. And this one will give them confidence going into the next leg.
And what we did see was a very early dismissal, the earliest in the Champions League against Real Madrid for almost 10 years, Richard Connolly. Can you just talk us through exactly what happened and why Remo Freuler was sent off inside 20 minutes?
Well, I mean, that first 17 minutes, and probably we'll go as far as to say 25 minutes, because Atalanta kept on playing with 10 in the immediate aftermath of the red card. But that first 25-minute spell was a real kind of up and down. There was a real energy basketball match style to it. Both sides were committing to attack, leaving spaces. The game was stretched. It was really watchable fair. Atalanta had been up one end. Real Madrid made a burst down their left-hand side. There was a quick exchange of passes, and all of a sudden, Fel or Mendy was sprinting towards the edge of the box. Now, Remo Freuler, covering for a defender, had gone the other way, as is Atalanta's wont, came across and made the challenge. He got there fractionally later than Mendy, was just outside the box. Now, Mendy was coming at it from the left wing, so his route was not directly towards goal. That was the question for the referee. Was Mendy still in a position that, from the angle he was at, was he going to be have a clear goal-scoring opportunity? The referee made a very quick judgment that he was, and dismissed Freuler instantly. And there was clearly, from that point, I mean, it was a clear foul just on the edge. There was not going to be a comeback in terms of, was it a clear and obvious mistake by the referee for the VAR to intervene. So the decision was ratified, and Atalanta were dealing with that man disadvantage for, what, 73 minutes as a result?
Yeah, fastest ever red card by an Italian side in the Champions League. And Remo Freuler, as you mentioned in the commentary, such a key part of this Atalanta team, was always going to be an uphill task. They almost managed it, as you heard. The goal came very, very late from Real Madrid's point of view. We can hear from the Atalanta camp now and their right back, Joaquim Mela.
Yeah, I mean, we never give up. I think you also could see it after the red card, where it was a big punch, but even though with 10 men, I think we did a really, really good job. Nobody gave up. We kept on running, kept on fighting for the team. And I mean, it's 1-0. We can go there and we can make a good result. We have one more game in Champions League. That as I said, we never give up. Yeah, we will fight for our chance and fight for to advance in this tournament.
Well, perhaps we should heed those words, because last season, you might remember, Atalanta were dead and buried in the group stage, and they made a quite miraculous comeback and reached the quarterfinals. What chance of, from what you've seen tonight, Richard and Jenna, what chance that they could go to Spain, win the game and go through? I think you mentioned in commentary they have got a very good away record this season.
They certainly have. They won 4-0 away to Midtjylland on match day one. They won 2-0 at Anfield on match day four, having lost the reverse 5-0 at home. And then they won the vital game on match day six by a goal to nil against Ajax. It's really intriguing, because both sides are going to be missing a key part of their midfield for that second leg. Freuler obviously suspended for Atalanta. Casemiro picked up a yellow card as well, and he'll be banned for Real Madrid. So both sides are going to be coping with adversity in that. We'll see how many Real Madrid get back from injury. I do give Atalanta a chance. I think it's going to be intriguing. I think it's definitely still a live match for the second leg.
I agree. I think the way that they've lost this match, I think it's going to be a real blow, but it's also going to give them the fire to go on. They play with fear. They'll have their 11 players back on the pitch, and I think that's when we'll see Atalanta at their best. They've got nothing to lose now. They have to go for it, and that's what we're used to seeing with Atalanta, with their attacking football. So, yeah, I don't think they're out of it at all.
And they're the kind of side, Chris, who can score a couple of goals in quick succession as well. So, you know, it's... And Real Madrid, though, they're defending well, and their defensive record is obviously excellent the last few games. They're not scoring that many. So you can imagine that the game will be pretty nervy and pretty tense towards the end.
And it'll be a great listen right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live, Tuesday the 16th of March, the second leg at the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano in the Spanish capital. The same night, Manchester City will host Borussia Mönchengladbach. And my word, they are in a strong position. They went to Budapest to take on Borussia Mönchengladbach, and they were chasing a 19th, yes, 19th victory in a row in all competitions.
João Cancelo will curl inside the area. The header into the corner, wonderfully taken. Bernardo Silva sneaking in round the back to not beyond Jan Sommer. And Manchester City lead by a goal to nil in Budapest. Oh, it's a poor touch from Benzema, and he's giving it away straight to Gabriel Jesus here. The Brazilian's in on goal. Surely he'll finish. Really good block from Elvedi. That should have been another for Manchester City. But Gabriel Jesus dallies, and Borussia Mönchengladbach escape. Cancelo to curl in, it's towards Bernardo Silva again, and there is the second for Manchester City from close range. It is Gabriel Jesus. Bernardo Silva this time the provider. Gabriel Jesus from close range. Borussia Mönchengladbach 0, Manchester City 2. All a mistake here, and suddenly Borussia Mönchengladbach have an opportunity. Wonderful stop by Edison. Well, that was a late chance for Borussia Mönchengladbach that came from absolutely nowhere.
Dan Roebuck with the commentary there. City have been knocked out in the quarterfinals in each of the last three seasons, and they have one foot in the last eight once again. As you heard, Bernardo Silva, not the biggest player, wonderful footballer. Don't necessarily think of him being fantastic in the air. Well, he scored and assisted with his head in Budapest, and he says there's still work to be done in the second leg.
We know how tough this competition can be. You make a mistake and you're out. So we try to play simple, not to make mistakes, to control the possession as we always do, and to create chances and score goals. And it was a very good game for us. It's not finished yet, but it's a good win. We have a map. We have a way of playing, and players get injured. Some players cannot play for many reasons, and our style of play doesn't change. The team keeps doing well, and that's a very good sign.
Always like listening to Bernardo Silva. He speaks very well, and he also gives a nice insight there. I think talking at the end about the fact they've had injuries. Kevin De Bruyne didn't start. Sergio Aguero has been out for a long time, but Dan joins me now. New players come in, and as he says, there's still this winning machine. And 19 victories in a row in all competitions is a bit ridiculous, as is the fact in that time they've only conceded 6 goals. I mean, I think of them still as this incredible attacking force, but that's a remarkable defensive record.
It's a fantastic defensive record. City have been excellent at the back this season. And just contrast the Champions League situation from last season to this season. They've got clean sheets in their last 6 in UEFA Champions League this campaign. They kept clean sheets in their first 2 games last season, but none in their last 7. Is that the difference between the 1920 Manchester City and the 2021 Manchester City? The arrival of Ruben Dias. João Cancelo has morphed into a very good player. He was already a good player, versatile. He got Manchester City's man of the match, incidentally. The club gave the Portuguese the gong, even though Bernardo Silva, that we just heard of, scored one and assisted one. He was excellent tonight, João Cancelo. But defensively, it's Manchester City have changed a little bit, and you would think that that will see them go a little deeper than last campaign, maybe all the way to the final, and potentially they will win it. Pep Guardiola always plays down Manchester City's chances, but I don't think anybody is having that, are they? I mean, City are looking good this season.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. He said in 2016, I remember, it would take 10 years for City to become favourites to win the Champions League, but I mean, I guess Bayern were fantastic on Tuesday, but put it this way, absolutely nobody, if they make it through, would want to play City in the quarterfinals. I mean, we've just mentioned they are red hot right now.
12th away win on the spin, incidentally, which is a record for an English top flight side. They've beaten their own record of a few years ago, which was 12 wins in all competitions away from home. They've just been in such fantastic form. This is a side that slipped to 14th in the Premier League in the early stages of the English season. Yes, they didn't play as many as others because they started their season a little later because of their UEFA Champions League involvement late last campaign. But they were stuttering, and they've only been beaten once at home this season. That was way back when Leicester defeated them by 5 goals to do in that extraordinary match. And people were suggesting that this City side might not be able to win anything this season. But we know that they are in the final of the League Cup. They're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Obviously, they are pretty
much... Are you going to mention it?
Well, they could win all 4, could they? You know, I mean, let's face it. They have got such a... Look, they made 5 changes from the side that beat Arsenal at the weekend, and they were not weakened. They were not weakened one bit. Sergio Aguero didn't start either game at the weekend or tonight, and they are not weakened. They are a machine at the moment, and they are the team to beat in the Champions League.
Yeah, and João Cancelo, again tonight, was fantastic. And maybe, given we've talked about their defence, he is somebody who this season, in the last 19 games anyway, has all of a sudden become a vital component of this Pep Guardiola team.
Well, we've seen players being swapped in and out by Pep Guardiola at the back. John Stones has had a little bit of a run at centre-half, and we've seen Aymeric Laporte come in and out. We've seen Kyle Walker come in and out at full-back. We've seen Oleksandr Zinchenko come in as well. But João Cancelo has started more games than all of those players. Only Ruben Dias of the defensive players has started more games for Manchester City in the Premier League this season. And you've got to remember, when Manchester City were beaten by Lyon in the quarter-final of the UEFA Champions League last season, Fernandinho was playing at the back. This is a much better side, and João Cancelo has been such a good performer recently. Yes, he did cost a lot of money. The ticket doesn't look quite so big because Danilo went the other way to Juventus. Pep Guardiola has got the best out of João Cancelo. He's a player that is seemingly impossible to pick up by opposition defences at the moment. Certainly, Borussia Mönchengladbach had no answer to him. They, I thought, were a little poor. We mentioned that they were in poor form anyway, and it's a mountain to climb for them. I can't see a way back in the return leg. And, yeah, City should get through, obviously.
It'll be astonishing. It will be one of the great Champions League comebacks. We've seen a few over the last couple of years. We can hear from Pep Guardiola now. You might think he's going to be delighted, but actually he says he was disappointed with his players in the final third.
The process was good. Our final decision, our one against one in the final third, was not good. We had to be more clinical, and we were not. The process was good. We played good with the ball, and we arrived in the final third, but in the final third we were not good in our ones against one, two against one. So in this competition, the opponents didn't give you much chances. You have to score. In Champions League, many things happen. It's not 0-4, 0-5, 0-6. It's just 0-2. Everything can happen in football. So they have the quality to score a goal. We know each other. They know each other. So everything can happen. But it's in 3 weeks. So we have still 5 or 6 games in the Premier League and FA Cup before we play against Gladbach in Manchester.
Pep Guardiola there, who is not underestimating the German side for the second leg. And I read quotes from Guardiola in a book where he attributes that mindset to a match in this competition. He was a Barcelona player, of course, won this competition in 1992. In 1994, he reached the final again under the great Johan Cruyff, the dream team, as they were called it. They were favourites going into the final against AC Milan, and they were beaten 4-0 in Athens. And he has always said that result means that he never, ever underestimates anybody when it comes to football. Not as a player after that night, and not now as a manager. But how does Marco Rose, Dan, go about the second leg? We know he's leaving the club in the summer to be Borussia Dortmund's manager. How do they go to Manchester and at least make an impact in the tie?
Well, they will be playing for pride, obviously. They will be playing against, in my opinion, the best side in the competition. Borussia Mönchengladbach underperformed, I thought, tonight. They're always second favourites. They barely had an opportunity to test Ederson. They did very late on through Hannes Wolf after a mistake at the back by Manchester City. Alassane Player had that scorpion kick in, I think, the 63rd minute, which was their first shot at goal, first attempt at goal. They hadn't troubled Ederson in the first hour, so they have to be better. They have to get the likes of Jonas Hoffmann, who limped off actually in this game, in the game a little bit more. Florian Neuhaus as well has to show up. They were poor going forward. They have to be a little bit more expansive, ambitious, maybe a little bit more direct. They kept to their game plan. They looked to try and play out from the back, but they were caught an awful lot. They were pressured early. They have to do something. They're not going to go through. We know that. I can't see them doing what Manchester United did against Paris Saint-Germain a few years ago, the only time that the home side has lost a first leg of a knockout stage of the UEFA Champions League by 2-0 and come back to go through. But they will be playing for pride. It will be difficult. But nonetheless, as Pep Guardiola has suggested, he will not send his side out complacent. And it's really difficult to make a case for Marco Rose's side, but I'm sure he will be trying his best.
Sure he will. Man of the match time from this game, Dan.
I think we've got to give it to João Cancelo, haven't we? One proper assist, one secondary assist. Even though Bernardo Silva got one goal and assist, he was just brilliant, marauding forward. He had an opportunity to score himself, a shot from just outside the penalty area that went over the crossbar. Always available, always getting in good positions. I'd give it the Portuguese fullback.
player of the match from that match. Richard Connolly, your player of the match from Real Madrid's win at Atalanta.
Yeah, I think it has to be the obvious choice, really, with Mendy's intervention for the sending off and then the goal right at the end. I mean, the left back made the difference when more lofty names couldn't break through. He came up trumps right at the end, so Mendy.
Jenna, anybody else? I mean, that's tough now because you can't have the match win.
Sorry, Jenna.
Killed me.
I think Modric played yeah, well Modric. In midfield. I mean, he clearly wasn't at his absolute prime. But
Richard, yeah, you can't steal another person.
Sorry, yeah.
I think Modric, he went about his business quietly. He was producing some magic, you know, magic balls into the box, which unfortunately they couldn't capitalise on. But yeah, I guess Modric had a quiet game, but he was also effective in midfield.
Okay, so Wednesday's results in the first leg of the last 16 ties. Atalanta 0, Real Madrid 1, and Borussia Mönchengladbach 0, Manchester City 2. So, in all of the first legs, we've had 8 matches, we've had 7 away victories. The only home team to win, Porto against Juventus, albeit a couple of those matches, of course, for Leipzig and for Borussia Mönchengladbach, weren't really at home. They had to travel away due to COVID regulations in terms of travel. We're going to go through the first leg results and conversation now with Dan and with Jenna and Richard about who they think are going to go through when the second legs come round. It's not that long away either. It's less than 2 weeks before the Champions League is back, and it's going to be a terrific second legs, you feel. On Tuesday the 9th of March, it is Juventus against Porto and Borussia Dortmund against Sevilla. I'll start with you, Jenna. Who's going to go through between Porto and Juve? This one's hard to call.
It's going to be a tight one. I'm going to go with Porto just because they've got the advantage there, the two-goal cushion. I think it'll be tight either way, but I'm going to go for Porto win.
It's tempting to say and go the other way because a Juve 1-0 win would take them through. I mean, if tonight was about Real Madrid being peak Zidane, then maybe a 1-0 Juve might be a peak scoreline for them. So I might go the other way there, but it's so hard to see these ties being turned around, Chris, as a general point, because so many of the home teams are going to be in front. So I feel like we're in danger of providing boring answers here for the rest of the games, maybe.
Well, don't do that. We've got 2 minutes to go. I'll go to Dan Roebuck. He won't be boring. And this second leg might not be. Borussia Dortmund against Sevilla. Dortmund 3-2 up, Dan, after Erling Haaland was amazing again in the south of Spain last week. Personally, I can see this one going either way. I don't know about you.
I can as well. I mean, Borussia Dortmund have been inconsistent this season, haven't they? They've had their issues, obviously, with the change of coach. We know that Marco Rosa will be joining in the summer. But Borussia Dortmund, not as good as they have been, I don't think. I'm going to go for Sevilla to go through here. I mean, Sevilla have got such a good record in European competition with all those Europa League wins. I'm going to go for a bit of a surprise and go for Sevilla to go through.
Chris, I don't think that the Liverpool-Leipzig tie is completely over either.
Really?
I mean, Liverpool have been fragile. I mean, this was a big victory for them to get the away win in inverted commas in Budapest, but they've had their troubles on home patch. And, you know, Leipzig are still going strongly in the Bundesliga. They've won a lot of matches. And I don't think it's over. If Leipzig were to score first in the second leg, I can see Liverpool getting anxious. They're missing so many key players.
That's on Wednesday the 10th of March. Same night, Paris have a 4-1 lead against Barcelona. Jenna, anyway, back for Barcelona in that tie?
I can't see it happening at all. I think the Paris Saint-Germain, the quality that they've got, the cushion that they've got going into that match, I think it's going to take a big, big effort from Barcelona. I just don't think they've got it.
OK, the next week on Tuesday the 16th of March, the second leg of tonight's matches. So very quickly, Richard, anyway, back for Atalanta against Real Madrid?
Yeah, I can see it happening. I can see it. First goal crucial, because if Atalanta go for it and get it, then it's all on.
Gladbach in Manchester, Dan Roebuck?
Manchester City will cruise through comfortably.
And very quickly, Wednesday the 17th of March, Jenna, Chelsea 1-0 up against Atletico. Who's going through?
I'm calling Atletico on this one.
OK, and you get the last word. Bayern against Lazio, Bayern 4-1 up.
It's Bayern.
I'll go Bayern, yeah.
I thought that would be. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you very much for your company. That's about all we've got time for. We're back on Tuesday, the 9th of March. Full coverage of Juventus against Porto, plus updates from Sevilla against Borussia Dortmund. Thrilling first legs. It should be quite a night. Don't forget to download our podcast after every match night. But thank you very much for listening. Another away day night in the Champions League on Match Day Live.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.